Amen. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Just want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. It's glad to be here with you and thankful that we can worship together this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we just turn to the word this morning. Father, we just come before you this morning with humble hearts, Lord, knowing that there's no righteousness or works of our own, Lord, that we can bring before you that would make us worthy, Lord, to even come into your presence or to handle your word, Lord, to stand before you at all. But yet, through the shed blood of our precious Lamb, we've taken your righteousness, Lord, and we know that you said we are white as snow. You said that we have, our record is clear. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for that opportunity, Lord, to be able to come before you, Lord, to receive our daily bread, Lord, to receive healing, to receive from you, Lord, to fellowship with you, to talk with you and have you talk with us, and Lord, to pour out our hearts to you, Lord, and have you, Lord, speak back words of peace and encouragement to us. Lord, we're just so thankful this morning that you're a living God and you're living among your people. Lord, that you're not a historical God, but you're a present I am God. Oh, Lord, we just are so grateful, Lord, for what we have this morning, Lord. And, Lord, may we just commit our hearts to you and our minds, Lord, and just ask you, Lord, to have your way, Lord. Amen. Take control, Lord. Lord, do whatever you want to do this morning. And, Lord, we give you the honor and praise, Lord, because you are worthy. So worthy. Lord, we love you and we thank you. I just pray that you bless my brothers and sisters this morning, Lord. Each one that's come, Lord, visitors alike, Father. May each one, Lord, be ministered to, Lord. I pray that you would speak to each heart, Lord. And we give you the praise and honor and glory and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. We'd like to just look this morning at a subject that has been preached on many times, but maybe it would be timely for us to just take a step back and think about expectations this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And we know that Israel, this is the beginning here of the Gospel of Luke, second chapter. And so we know that this is the beginning of the Gospels, amen. And this is where the Bible begins to give us the account of the Messiah coming on the scene. And so it's going to we're going to be introduced to this man who was looking for the Messiah. And we know that he wasn't the only one. All of Israel was looking for the Messiah. Right? But there were certain ones that God moved on. And verse 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Amen. One of the greatest examples in the scripture of the Holy Spirit revealing something to a man. And using those words. Amen. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So we want to just speak about this morning our expectations. Amen. Our expectations. This man, Simeon, had received a revelation. Amen. And I love that the scripture puts it that way. It was revealed to him. Amen. That he would see the Messiah before his death. Now, hundreds of people saw him. Amen. But he saw him. He recognized him. He knew who he was. And so, you know, I was thinking, kind of putting yourself in the position of Israel, and they were longing and hoping, and for hundreds of years, looking forward to the Messiah coming. And you can imagine how it would, all the things that they would do as a nation and a people, they would plan around this, and they're looking for it, and someday he's coming, and someday he's coming, and they would think about how would it happen, right? Maybe they would kind of rehearse in their mind, I wonder what it will be like, right? Will he come like this, or what will he be like? And I imagine, you know, putting myself in that position, I would say, Lord, I want to see it when it happens, right? He's coming here, so they wanted to be there where he was going to be coming, and they wanted to see him. Lord, don't let me miss it when he comes. Especially those that really believed. And this man was just and devout, the Bible says. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so he was praying about it, and his focus was on it. Amen? There was something in him stirring that he desired the Messiah. He desired to see the Messiah. Amen? And he didn't want to miss him when he came. And so the Holy Spirit comes and gives him this revelation. And what had been a hope and a desire in his heart was ignited into faith. And what we would say, an expectation in his heart. Amen? That he would know the Messiah. That he would see him before he died. And he expected this to happen. Amen? When this happened to him, he wasn't surprised. He wasn't caught off guard. He expected it to happen because it had been revealed to him. Amen? When we expect something and our expectation is on a particular event or something to happen or not happen, we're not caught off guard, right? We say, well, it worked out exactly as I expected that it would. Amen? But he was living, we don't know how many years, we don't know how old he was. In the scripture, he says, let your servant depart in peace, which means he was probably quite elderly. Right? He was getting up in years, but we don't know how long he waited. Amen? But he lived under the expectation that he would see the consolation of Israel. I love how the scripture puts that. The consolation of Israel. Consolation, you know, if you're consoling somebody, you're comforting them. You're giving them hope. Right? You're trying to restore. You're trying to build them up. Amen. Maybe they're in, you know, a bad situation or something, sadness or something has befallen them, and you're trying to console them. You're trying to lift them up out of the place where they were. Doesn't that describe our Lord? Amen. Amen. He is our consolation. He doesn't come to beat us down. He comes to lift us up. We were already beat down. Amen. We were already under the thumb of the devil. We were already bound in sin and shame, but he came to be the consolation. Oh, I love that. Amen. This gospel is not a burden. It's a lifting of burdens. So he's the consolation, and then the Holy Spirit is the comfort. Amen. Hallelujah. But that consolation, it's not just words that are spoken. It's not just promises that are made. It's a person. So if we need comfort, if we need consolation this morning, we should look to the person. He is still the consolation. Amen. But Simeon, he was looking for this one. So it's very much like Daniel in the scripture. The Bible tells us the account of Daniel, where Daniel went back and he saw current events. Right? He was caught up in current events. He was caught up in a war and an exile. And he went back and searched the scriptures. He went back and read what the prophets had said, what God's word said concerning his time. And the Bible tells us that Daniel saw by the scriptures that a certain time should be fulfilled. Right? And so he knew what time and place he was living based on the word of God. And so like that, Simeon had been searching the scriptures. And he knew that the Messiah's coming was imminent. Amen? Brother Branham dramatizes Simeon a little bit as kind of a religious fanatic, right? That's what they thought of him. The Jewish leaders and the priests and the religious leaders thought he was that crank, that crazy fanatic. Why? Because he was looking at the scripture. And he was letting the prophecy inform him about current events. He was saying, this word is about to come alive. Amen? And they called him a fanatic. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was looking to a word to be fulfilled. And so he was reading in the prophets and in the Psalms and everywhere that it spoke about the Messiah. And it began to build something in him. It began to build an expectation. It began to build a hunger and a thirst to see that Messiah. Because the Bible says he was waiting. Now, I don't believe that it just put that there as you know, all the rest of the nation was, well, maybe someday the Messiah will come and we're waiting around for it. No, he was in anticipation. He was waiting and looking for his coming. Oh, we should be in that kind of expectation this morning. Amen. Because, brother, sister, the word of God tells us that we are right on the precipice of the next coming. We see things that have been fulfilled right up to the coming. And we should be under expectation and under anticipation. Do we think that there could be Simeons alive now today that the Holy Spirit reveals to them, you won't die until you see that time. Amen. There will be some alive and remain when he comes. So he was waiting. He wasn't just sitting around nonchalant. But he was waiting in anticipation, in expectation to see the Messiah. Amen? But as he searched the scriptures and saw, you know, that it was coming and began to read about all the things that the word said, he didn't know. He wondered, will I see him? He's coming, but will I see him? And that's when the personal revelation came. Amen? That's when the Holy Spirit came and anointed that word and spoke to him through the anointed word that he read. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him, this is for you. Amen? Now, he's got something. He's got the word. And he's got the revelation of the word. And now, he's expecting it to happen. Amen. So you see how the expectation is built by the revealed word. Well, when we're expecting something, we're in a state of looking for it, right? We're in anticipation. Anticipation it's kind of an interesting concept if you think about it, because if you anticipate something is going to happen, it's almost like you know before it happens, right? In sports, people that are successful in sports often have great anticipation when in their sport, right? They can almost start moving before it looks like they should start moving. Like they know something's going to happen. They've got instincts and they've played the game enough. They see a play or something evolving before them, and they can start in motion even before it looks like that's going to happen. And they call that anticipation. Amen? They anticipate something. Anticipation is something that can also be an excitement. Amen? If we have a big event coming up or you know, something in our life that we really look forward to, we get a little bit of excitement building up, and we call that anticipation, right? Maybe we even get a little nervous, butterflies in our stomach, right? Because we know that it's going to happen. If we didn't believe it was going to happen, we wouldn't get that feeling, right? We would just ignore it. Well, maybe it'll happen, whatever. Anybody this morning have butterflies in your stomach that you might win the lottery? I don't, because I didn't buy a ticket. So I don't expect that to happen, right? So there's no anticipation. There's no expectation. I'm not nervous about it. The lottery, you could win millions of dollars, but I'm not. No anticipation. Not going to happen, right? The only way that you can have that anticipation and expectation is if you know it's going to happen. You expect it to happen. Is that right? So when we expect something to happen or not to happen, whatever the case may be, then we have actions that flow from that. Right? We behave a certain way. Is that right? Simeon went into the temple that day because he expected to see the Messiah. There was an action that flowed from it. Amen. When we come into church and we're expecting to meet with God, we behave a certain way. If we don't expect to meet with God, then we behave a different way. Our behavior is a reflection of our expectation. Amen. They say that When a woman is pregnant, we call her expecting. Right? You've heard that term? She's expecting. Well, what is she expecting? Right? She's not expecting a new job. She's not expecting to get a pet. She's expecting a baby. Right? Her expectation is lined up with something that's going on. You can see evidence that something is happening. Amen? I'll tell you what she shouldn't be expecting is to get much sleep. Right? Amen. Expect your life to change. But you can see evidence that something is happening. That's why they say they're expecting, right? A miracle is in process. And she's expecting that to happen. It would break everyone's expectations if something other than a baby was born. I mean, it sounds silly, right? But that's exactly right. You're expecting that at the end of this, you're going to go home with a baby. That expectation turns into action, right? You've got your little bag ready to go to the hospital, and you've got a room prepared, or, you know, you've bought clothes or diapers or whatever it may be. Car seats, strollers, right? All the things. Because you're expecting. Why are you buying all this stuff? Well, I expect that I'm going to have another human in my family, right? And that expectation manifests into real action. Brother Branham tells us, he dramatizes the story of Abraham and Sarah and the promise that was given to them, and he dramatizes them doing things, right? Why are you knitting those booties? Because I expect to have a baby to put in the booties. Amen. Expectation builds. You don't have it yet. No, but I have an expectation that this will happen. Do you have it yet? No, but we're expecting it to show up anytime now. Amen. In the Bible, or in the Old Testament, I should say specifically, the word expectation shows up, or expected. And we want to read one of them here in Jeremiah 29:11. This is a scripture that we quote fairly often because it's a beautiful promise, right? Amen. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall pray, you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. So, of course, there's many, many beautiful promises and things in that scripture. But I just wanted to point out that one of the promises is to give you an expected end. Or if you read it literally, it's an end that was expected. Okay? Now, this word here in the Hebrew that is translated expected is the same word that is also translated as line or cord or hope. So many places you see in the Old Testament where it says your hope. That is your expectation. Also, it says in the scripture where we read about Rahab and where the spies go into the city and they speak to Rahab. And Rahab had a desire to be saved. Right? We know the story of Rahab. She recognized that Jehovah was God. And she knew the mighty works of Jehovah and how God was with Israel. And she knew that, you know, that that was the winning side. Is that about that song, Come On Over to the Winning Side? That's Rahab, man. Right? Hey, I want to join up, guys. I want to be on your team. I want to be on Jehovah's team. Whatever team that is, I want to be on his side. And so what happened was they said, okay, you know, she helped them. And she said, well, since you've helped us, you know, we will spare you. And she was instructed to put a scarlet thread out her window. Amen. And that was to be the symbol or the sign that she would be spared. Right? Well, that scarlet thread is the same word. Expected. the same translated word for that scar. So what she actually did, she put out her expectation. She put on display her hope, her expectation. It was a symbol of what her faith told her. It was a sign of what she believed would happen. She had received a promise to be saved, and the action of putting out that thread was her expectation that she would be saved. Amen. She put it on display. It was out there for everybody to see. I imagine there are people in the city going, wonder what that's all about. Right? And the result was she got what she expected. She received the promise. She expected Israel to win. She expected the mighty walls to be defeated. She expected to be saved. And that scarlet thread was a symbol of that expectation in her heart. Amen. That was the action that was a result of what was in her heart. The physical manifestation of it. Amen. And you know what? She got it. Everything that she expected to happen, happened. Hallelujah. Because, and here's the key. Because her expectation was rooted in the Word of God. That is the crux of the matter. Amen? Because we can have all kinds of expectations that never come to fruition. Some of the greatest disappointments in life that a person can have are because of unmet expectations. Amen? When people have conflicts, it's usually because of some expectation. Amen? A person expects one thing and something else happens. I expected it to be this way. I expected it, right? And this is the way it worked out. And it causes disappointment in our life. It causes conflict. It causes issues in relationships. We place these expectations on other people. And then when they don't meet those expectations, we're disappointed. Right? And that brings conflict. It damages relationships. Why? Because I had put expectations on you. And, oh, by the way, I didn't bother to tell you what they were. Right? And we do that all the time. We don't often stop and think about it, but it happens. There's an old cliche that you probably have heard, or kind of an old kind of story that manifests itself in a lot of different ways, comedy and different things. But the cliche is basically that the wife is angry at the husband, and somebody asks the husband, what did you do? And he says, I have no idea. And furthermore, she won't tell me. Right? That's kind of a cliche thing that's out there. Well, hopefully we can communicate better than that. But it does speak to something that we set expectations often in our own minds for other people. And we don't even realize that they're there. And they certainly don't know that they're there. Amen? So then she's disappointed, or he's disappointed, because that person didn't meet that expectation that was unspoken. And I'm bringing this up because I want to show you that there is great power in this. There is power in our expectation for the positive and for the negative. Families can be this way. If you think about a wedding, man, some of the craziest things that happen in families happen at weddings. Why? Because people have all kinds of expectations coming in, right? The bride's got some, mom-in-law's got some, mother's got some, this person, this family member, that family member. Everybody's got expectations, and they don't all necessarily work together, right? People expect that they'll be invited. And man, if they don't get invited, they're offended. right? Because they had an expectation. Relatives expect certain things, expect to have a role. Well, she didn't have me in her wedding party, right? Well, I'm sorry, was that written somewhere that you were promised that you were going to be in the wedding? No, but in your mind, you had that expectation. And when you have that expectation and it doesn't happen, it causes disappointment and hurt. Amen? Because there's power in that. An expectation can bring you to a place that when it's not met, it really hurts. Amen? Our church family can be this way. People come to a church and they have expectations. They have ideas about how it's going to be. They have expectations for the pastor. Amen? They don't tell him about it, but they have them. Right? People start attending a church and they don't even, maybe even realize the expectation that they bring. Things that the pastor should, or ways that the pastor should act, or do decisions that should be made, or things that should be done in the church. There's expectations about how the services should be run, the songs that the song leader should sing, the way that the musicians should play, all of these things. Amen? Our expectations in individual hearts. And so conflict arises in our hearts when reality doesn't match our expectation. Brother Doug has often told us a story, I think, that illustrates this pretty well. Or at least, I don't know if it's a story, but his own thinking. He talks about how when he came into this message, he thought that everybody would be an angel. Right? Everybody's just going to be angelic, perfect. Right? Well, that was his expectation. And it was not in line with reality. Right? And people have that expectation about churches sometimes. If it's not perfect, you know, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Well, the reality is that every church has believers, make believers, and unbelievers. And all of those people are at different stages in their journey. We all battle the flesh. We're all in a war. Amen? We're in a spiritual battle. And if we don't have that expectation, we can leave room for the devil to come in and then work on that. Right? Because you have put your expectation and you think that that's the word of God. Right? Well, in my mind, I'm thinking it should be this way. And you've equated that to be, that is the way it's supposed to be. And if it's not that way, then it's wrong. Or really, it's just your expectation that's a little off. Amen? If we expect as we come to the Lord that our Christian walk will be easy, your expectation will quickly be readjusted. Amen? But that is an expectation that people have. They think, well, man, when I serve God, everything should just, you know, come my way, right? I'm blessed, highly favored, right? The reality is that we have an adversary, and you just take a big target and put it on. Right? You're a target for the enemy. The flip side of that is when we expect attacks, we're not surprised. Amen? We expected it. The attack comes and you go, yeah, there he is again. We've seen this before. Right? It's different. When your expectation is, I didn't think it was going to be this way. I didn't know I was going to have to fight. That's different than, I knew this was coming. I expected that old enemy Amen? To make his attack in that way. I expected him to attack my family. Amen? That's just the way he works. I'm not going to let it worry me. I'm not going to let it distract me. I'm not going to let it dissuade me because I expected this. It's very different, isn't it? That's why we have the Word of God, to let us know what we should expect, to help us line our expectations up with truth. In the business world, there's this phrase that's very popular called managing expectations. You may have heard it. The idea is that if you have a customer, that you want whatever you're delivering to that customer, you want their expectation to be lined up with what you're going to deliver to them. Right? You don't want their expectation to be way up here and then you deliver down here. So instead of bringing this up, you bring this down. Right? You manage the expectations. They call that under promise and over deliver. Right? The idea, many times when, you know, you're in the business world, you're working maybe on projects or something like that, and things get behind schedule, or things cost, budgets go out of whack, right? And things cost overruns and things like that. Well, then you have to communicate that. You have to let the customer know, hey, you thought you were getting it here, but really it's going to be a little bit later. Right? And then what happens, that always works out better than waiting to the end and saying, oh, by the way, we promised it today, but it's not going to be here for another month. That's bad. Right? It's better 5 months before to sit down with the customer and explain, this is what's happening, and it's put us a little behind schedule. Right? What are you doing? You're managing their expectations. Right? You're trying to bring expectations in line with reality. Because the problems and conflicts arise when expectations and reality are out of whack. Right? So then the customer, if they expect there's going to be problems, then they know, understand what the problems are, then they're more amenable to it. Right? They understand. They may not be happy about it still, but their expectations now are adjusted. Amen? That's the power of expectation. If you didn't have that, if their expectations were way out of line, it can be bad, right? You've lost that customer. They might never do business with you again. There's consequences to those things. Whereas if you communicate it and bring the expectation in line, then they work with you. There's amazing power in that, is what I'm trying to show you with that, okay? So, the thing with expectations is they can take on a life of their own. And they can be imaginary, right? People can get in their imagination, they build expectations up. They lift people up. This is why, you know, we know that there is a spiritual, I don't call it a law, but something that we know always happens, and that is that people will build up men, right? They will lift them up. Well, if it's part of the church, God will make sure and humble that person. Right? Because what happens is people in their imagination, they build up an expectation for that person. They put them on a pedestal. A lot of times is how we put that. Right? Well, what is that? That's just an expectation that they've invented in their minds or in their imagination. Amen? Now, we've all had this kind of experience. And I put some pictures in there if you want to put that. I don't know if you can show them one at a time. That would be all right. But we've all probably experienced these kinds of things, right? Expectations, right? It's this neat little craft thing. Oh, that's cool. That's cute. I can make that. And then you scroll down and reality, right? We've probably all seen these. Your expectation doesn't match reality. Your expectation is that I'm a crafty person. Reality tells a different story. Go ahead and show the next one. Expectation and reality. Now this is more in the advertising, right? Everybody's seen these kind of hamburgers on the left in pictures. The only ones I've seen in real life that look like that are plastic. And then the one you get is the one on the right. All right, go ahead and the next one. And then this is one of my favorites. So on the left, we've got the picture of the TV dinner. Man, it looks pretty good, right? 100% natural. Got some nice juice there. And then on the right, I don't know what that is. I remember as a kid, the first few times I ate a TV dinner like this. And I remember seeing them in the grocery store thinking, man, those look pretty good. Right? And I can remember people talking about them and saying, you know, oh, TV dinners, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know, these look all right, you know? And then I pulled one out like that. My expectations came crashing down to earth. We see this all the time, though, don't we? The world that we live in trains us over and over with this. On the left, you have the devil's promises. You've got the world's promises. Amen. This is the great promise of prosperity and fame and fortune in this world, in this life. This is, on the left, that's what the Hollywood people chase after. That's what singers and musicians chase after. And on the right is what they end up with. Amen? Expectation that is not based on the Word of God is not based in reality. Expectation based on anything else can set you up for disappointment. My expectation is in His Word. Both positive and negative. You say negative? Yes, because He tells us things that will that we can expect to happen. I can expect the devil to do what the Word says that he will do. Is that right? I can expect the condition of the world to be in the condition that it's in. Brother Branham talks about in the meetings many times. You would hear him when he's starting a prayer line and the discernment begins. And man, if you've listened to any tapes at all, you've probably heard this, where he'll speak to someone and the spirit of discernment will move and he'll tell them something about the person. And he'll say, I caught that. Somebody said he guessed it. Well, he said, later on, he said, oh, somebody said he guessed that. He says, I expected that. Well, if you expect it, it doesn't faze you. Right? He came to expect that that was going to happen the first few times, you could tell it kind of got to him. What do you mean? I guessed it. But after a while, he just expected it. Amen? You see what I'm trying to say? That's a simple example. But that's how we deal with things in this world. Look, this world's crazy. The next crazy thing that's going to come out, you know, on the news, at this point, you kind of just shake your head and say, well, that's kind of what I expect. Right? Yeah, the first 20 times, it might have upset me. Amen? But now, I kind of just expect it. As believers, brother, sister, we expect this world is going to get worse. Why? Because the Word says so. We expect our country to continue to turn its back on God. Worse and worse and worse. Become an enemy of God. Why? It's prophesied. That's what God said would happen. We expect people's hearts to continue to grow colder and colder and colder to the things of God, to the gospel. We expect fewer and fewer and fewer to be saved. We expect it to be just a time of just a few here and there. Why? Because that's what the word says would happen. Why should we expect anything different? Would we expect great sweeping revivals where hundreds of thousands of people are getting saved? That's not the expectation. The expectation is we are in a dark, dark, darkening time. The anointing of God is lifting as hell is being poured out into this realm. That's what we expect. Amen? To expect something different is setting yourself up for some real disappointment. This nation and this world is doomed. Many churches have a different expectation. Many churches are preaching there's going to be worldwide revival. This country, they're looking to see how they can spark revival in this nation. How they can restore and rejuvenate this nation. They're going to be disappointed. Why? Because their expectation doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, those are all negative expectations that the Word speaks about, but there's a lot of positive too. I expect the bride to be in revival. I expect that. I'm not going to be surprised by it, but I'm in anticipation of it. I expect the elect in this age to have overcoming power. I expect it. That's why I'm looking for it. I believe it. I confess that it's here. Why? Because that's what the Word says. That's what the Word tells me to expect in this age. That there will be overcomers. Amen. I expect believers to experience the supernatural. That expectation comes from the Word of God. That's what we should be expecting to see. That's what we should be expecting in our lives. That we would experience the supernatural. I also expect that lukewarmness will penetrate into the church. But I expect overcomers to live on fire. Amen. Amen. So when lukewarmness comes, are we going to, whoa, what's wrong? Well, this is not supposed to be this way. Yes, it is. This is a lukewarm age. Everyone battles against lukewarmness. If you don't expect that to happen, you might then begin to question, well, maybe I shouldn't, maybe my pastor is off the word, or maybe I should be at a different church, or maybe I need to move to this other place. No, maybe you just live in an age where there's lukewarmness, and there's a battle going on, and you should expect that. I expect God to keep every one of His promises. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I expect the devil to keep lying about it. Amen. Why would you expect anything else? Yet somehow we do, right? Somehow unspoken in our minds somewhere, we've got expectations that need to be readjusted. I expect the Holy Ghost to be poured out on those that are seeking it. I expect the Holy Spirit to be birthing children of God into the kingdom right up until the rapture. You say right up until the rapture? Yeah, because that once that last one comes in, that's what we're waiting for. So there's got to be people still getting born again. Amen. I expect that those that believe and receive the word of God concerning their healing, I expect them to be healed.
Amen.
I expect healing to follow.
Amen.
Amen. Signs following the believer. That's what the word says. So I expect that to happen. I expect healing to follow the believers. Amen. I expect Jesus Christ to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Can I read you some statements out of the message here? Just got several quotes that we want to kind of look at this morning. This is from the message, When Their Eyes Were Opened. He says, Now I ask everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus, please be seated for a few minutes. Don't walk around. He says, this is going to be always like this. Can you imagine the expectation, of the appearing of Jesus Christ? Now, if I walked out here as a man and said, I am the Lord Jesus, I had long hair. We don't know whether he did or not, but I've got nail scars in my hands. He said, any hypocrite can do that. I've got oil, blood, everything. He says, still, the scripture didn't promise that. So he's talking about signs. People were looking for signs in the hands, you know, where people would get oil or blood in their hands, and they claimed that that was, you know, an outpouring or a work of the Holy Spirit. But he says the scripture didn't promise that. So how would you know Jesus? You say, well, I'd know him by his picture. Now, he says, no, that's some psychology painted that. We don't know what he looked like, see? I don't know what he was. See, it has to be that way. Rebecca didn't know what Isaac looked like, but it was love anyhow, see? She didn't know what he looked like. She just had to go with the types. She's seen him and loved him, but she was willing to go anyhow, no matter what he looked like. But how would I know him? It's a good question. Jesus said, by their fruits they are known. Now, if Jesus is here, he would not be in a physical form like me, because that body is sitting at the right hand of the majesty. But his life is here. His life is here. And remember, this is the last promise. The last sign that the church gets before the promised sign or the promised son returns. Scriptures cannot be broken, you know. And immediately after Sodom, the promised son arrived, and Sodom was burned, and so shall it be again. So you can see that he's setting the expectation of how the Lord would appear to them. Right? Don't be looking for signs in the hands and oil and things like that. If your expectation is that's how he's going to come, he said that's not what the word said. You need to realign your expectation of how the Lord is going to move with what the word said.
Amen.
Amen? And even Brother Branham's own ministry, his own life, was a contradiction to the expectation of the Christian church. As was Jesus. Amen? So much of the conflict that arose because of the prophets and the men that God has sent is because the people's expectations were here and what God sent was over here. And so Brother Branham brings us back to the scripture to show us, look, this is what you should be looking for. Amen. From the message of the palmer worm, locust, cankerworm, caterpillar, he says, there's a solid rock of God's word. And I will take any person, any time that they want to and go with them in brotherly love. And I want you to show me one thing that I said isn't Bible truth. Yes, sir, it's true. Now, because you stand for it, you're excommunicated. And I expect it to be that way. Right? God said it would be that way. They did him the same way. Where did you get the learnings? What school did you come from? What are you? Pharisee, Sadducee? He was the son of the living God and he'd taken no sides with none of them. So he's showing an other side of our expectation in the word. He says, you're going to be excommunicated. You're going to be kicked out of your church. He says, that's to be expected. That's not unusual. That's nothing wrong with you. If your expectation is not aligned with that, you might think there's something wrong. But no, everything is perfectly right. That's the sign that you're standing on the word. But you must expect that according to the word. Amen? I'll give you another example out of sort of his ministry. Just, there's lots of examples of this, right? Of course, but he talked about how when someone came that was sick with a tumor or something like that, and he would cast the spirit out of the tumor. Right? And the people, he says, they would get sicker than ever. Right? They'd start to feel better, but then they would get sicker than ever. Because the life went out of the tumor and the body is trying to process it and deal with it and all that, and it takes some time for that to work itself out. Right? But he said, but if you don't know that, you lose your victory. Right? Why? Because your expectation is not lined up with reality. You're expecting, I'm going to walk out and I'm feeling great. I'm going to continue to feel great. I'm going to feel great every day. Get better and better and better. Right? That's their expectation. But reality was, no, you're going to feel good and then you're going to feel worse for a while and then you're going to be fine. You see the difference? And because your expectation is incorrect, they could lose the victory. That's how important it is. Amen? So this is from the message Expectancy. And he preached, I don't know, lots of different messages with variations of this title. There's expectancy and expectations and all this, right? So he speaks about this quite a bit. He says, if you've come expecting to get help from God, God will meet your expectancy. He always does. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever what you expect brings your faith. If you come saying, well, there's nothing to it, that's just the way you'll go home. With nothing to it. If you come tonight and say, well, I don't get prayed for, I will go home and won't be healed, that's just the way you will go. But if you come here tonight saying, I come for one sole purpose, and that's to contact Christ for my body or my soul, then you'll go home happy, or you'll go home just as happy as you can be, for you'll contact him. Now, no matter what the opposition looks like, Christ is the answer. Faith brings Christ. Notice, could you remember, 80 years old, white beard, white hair, yet the old man went around telling people that he wasn't going to die until he's seen the Lord. So he's speaking about Simeon here. So he says here he's 80 years old, so older gentleman, right? He's going around telling people that he wasn't going to die until he's seen the Lord's Christ. What a beautiful picture of faith. Faith knows no defeat. Faith is perfect. Faith brings things when there is no things to be brought. Faith creates. Faith takes doubt away, takes negative and makes positive. How beautiful. The old man had a basis for faith. Faith is not mythical, something mentally worked up. It's an absolutely fundamental result that happens in a person's heart. And when faith is appropriated, then it is something in the person's heart. But it can't be based on, you say, well, go touch a tree and you'll get well, or pray to the post. It's got to have a foundation. Amen. Because we expect something, our actions follow. The things that we do reflect what we are expecting. Amen? When we come to church, if we anticipate that God is going to be moving in a service, if we are expecting to meet with God, if we are expecting the Almighty to be present in that service, then we behave that way. We have an anticipation and something that we're longing for. Amen. We carry ourselves a certain way. We're attentive. We're listening. We're ready. But if our expectation is, well, we just come into church and then we hear a sermon and we leave and nothing supernatural happens, if that's our expectation, that's exactly what we get. Amen? We should be walking in expectation. Amen. Excited to serve God. Amen. Let me just read to you a couple more here. Expectancy. This is a different one with the same title. He says, now I want to testify by a text. I'm going to take the text and call it this, expectancy. To be expecting something. Did you ever expect something? Usually, you get just what you expect. Did you know that? If you come down to a meeting and would say, well, I'm going to go down there and there's nothing to it, well, that's just what you'll get out of it. But if you get down there and say, well, I'll go down there, but there's no need of me going because I ain't going to get healed, well, that's just the way you'll go back. But if you come expecting God to do something for you, He'll do it. If you expect to find something to criticize the meeting, criticize the way it's conducted, Satan will show you plenty of it. You'll find plenty. But if you come not to criticize the meeting, you've come saying, God, I want to see where you are in it. God will show you Himself in it. Just whatever you expect, God will give it to you. It's your expectancy. Now, I want to pause right here for a second. Where he says, just whatever you expect, God will give it to you. He is speaking in the context of expecting something in the Word of God. Okay? This is not, I'm expecting a pink Cadillac. They have those, right? Mary Kay? See them driving around pink Cadillacs? Right? The Bible says that you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss to consume upon your lusts, right? So we understand. We just need to understand what he's talking. He's speaking in that this specific context of the meetings, founded upon the Word of God, the Word of God being preached. If your expectation, whatever you expect, that is in His Word, according to His Word, He says, God will give it to you. But you've got to expect it. He says, it's your expectancy. Now, I want you to come tonight, Love Divine. I want you to come back tonight expecting to see God move in the greatest way He's moved since we've been here. Let's ask God not to leave one crippled person, one blind person, one deaf, one dumb, not one sick person or crippled person in our midst tonight. Let's believe in it. He says, will you do it with me? I believe God will do it if we'll be expecting that now for everybody to be healed. You see how it puts it back on us. He's made the promise. But do you expect Him to do according to His Word? Amen. Just one more here from the Message Expectancy. This one is preached in Chicago. So these are all same title, different cities. He says, let's just take a little subject for the next 10, 15 minutes on the word expectancy. You know, usually you get what you expect to get. And if you come to the meeting saying, well, I'm going to go down there just to see what I can see, I don't believe it in the first place, well, the devil's going to show you something that you won't believe. You can just depend on that. But if you're coming expecting to get a blessing, God will see that you get it. It's just the attitude that you come in with. Right? If you're expecting. Now, I was reading here some time ago in the scripture where David said, the deep calleth to the deep. The deep calling to the deep, there's bound to be a deep to respond to that call. Now, Lord willing, that's what we're going to get into tonight. We're going to look at this scripture, the deep calleth to the deep, and we're going to take the things that he said about this. He says, in the deep calling to the deep, there's bound to be a deep to respond to that call. As I've many times said, before there was a fin on a fish's back, there had to be water first for him to swim in, or he'd have no fin. Brother Ryan, he wouldn't have any use for that fin. So he had to have water there first, and that's the reason he had to have a fin. And the next thing we know, well, let's see, before there was a tree to grow in the earth, there had to be an earth first for it to grow in, or there wouldn't be any tree. Because if there wasn't any earth, there'd be no tree to grow it in. And so he's making the point that the reason that you need healing is because there is healing.
Amen.
The reason that there is a hunger for the Holy Ghost is because the Holy Ghost is there.
Amen.
To meet that.
Amen.
Amen? So this is where our expectation finds its bedding ground. In the promises of God. Our expectations will build to actions where we're hungering and thirsting and seeking and looking forward, anticipating. We're looking up. We're not looking around because our expectation is from Him. It's not of the things of the world. I expect to get the old burnt TV dinner from the world. That's what I expect. I don't expect anything good. If I get something good, it's gravy. It's nice. And it's a nice benefit. I'm not going to rely on it. But I don't expect that. I expect goodness from my Father. Amen. I don't expect that when I need spiritual food that He's going to give me a stone. I expect He's a good Father. I expect good things. Amen. I don't expect the devil just to give up. I don't expect the devil to hand over my property to me without a fight. I don't expect him just to roll over, but I expect him to lose. I expect the Word of God to defeat him. I expect to serve God every day of my life. I expect that someday, if I'm alive, when He comes, that He's going to change this mortal body. Amen. I have an expected ending to my trials, my time on earth, my tribulation. We have an expected ending, and that expectation is in the Word of God. So, brother, sister, as we stand this morning, I ask you the question. Amen. You need to examine yourself. What am I expecting? What are my expectations? Amen? Have I lined them up with the Word of God? Maybe your expectations are a little low this morning. Amen? Maybe you need to raise your expectations a little. Are you expecting God to unite families? For so long, you know, we have unsaved family members, and you just get used to it. But I'm expecting them to be saved.
Amen.
I'm expecting families to be reunited again. Amen. That's my expectation. I'm expecting that when my brothers and my sisters come to church and they put in a prayer request, they write something out on that card. Pray for me for healing. Or they come up to be prayed for and they say, agree with me in prayer for my healing. I expect them to be healed. What are you expecting? This is not about what I expect this morning. Amen. This is about what you are expecting. Are we expecting to see deliverance when we come to church? Are we expecting people to be delivered from bondage, from chains? Amen. From addictions and habits. Are we expecting that? Are we expecting God to pour out His peace in our hearts? These are all things that we should be in expectation for. Amen? In other words, we shouldn't be surprised when they happen. We should be happy that they happen. Right? I like to go back to that, and Brother Doug likes to quote it too, in the church ages, when it's talking about it's talking about the one of the past church ages, escaping which one in the moment, but where it says it was not unusual for the dead to be raised. Right? Not unusual. That means it was expected that when they prayed for a dead person that they would be raised. Right? If it was not unusual for them to be raised, it would be unusual for them not to be raised. Hallelujah. Jesus went to a few funerals, and they all ended pretty well. Right? Is he different? But what do we expect? We expect comfort. We expect peace. Do we expect joy? How about this one? Do we expect revival? Revival is one of those that kind of covers a lot of things. And it's a tough one because you get comfortable. And revival is a stirring up. Amen? It's a tossing trash out. It's a cleaning up. It's a refreshing, a stirring. It's not a lay down and be comfortable. It's a shaking. Amen? But I expect it. We've got to raise our expectations. I don't believe that there's anything in God's Word where we can get our expectations too high. Usually it's the other way around. Brother Bram tells us that, right? He says, he puts it different ways. He says, we're living below our privileges, right? In one way, he puts it that way. Well, what does that mean? It means that there's more out there, right? You need to raise your expectations a little bit. One of the things that's interesting about being a parent or even a supervisor or somebody who's in authority and you have people under you or children, right, is when if you have low expectations for them, that's usually as high as they will raise. They will raise to the level of your expectations. Right? If your expectations are low, they'll meet that, but they won't usually go higher than that. But if you lift expectations, they might not, because they're natural, they might not make it all the way up, but they'll go higher than if you had low expectations. Well, brother, sister, God's not going to disappoint anybody. I just want to encourage you. The whole point of this morning is just to encourage us a little bit. That when we have services, when we in our walk, let's raise the expectation a little bit. Amen. Let's not settle. You understand what I'm saying? Don't settle for second best. God's got, this is where, you know, Brother Branham would put it like this. He'd say, you know, all these, the Pentecostals and all the churches, the people that they thought they were so spiritual. And they were chasing this sign. And they were chasing that sign. They were holding on to speaking in tongues. Or they were holding on to the signs like we were talking about. He says, why? Why would you settle for something like that when the skies are full of the real Pentecostal power and blessings of the living God? But the devil would get them to settle. And what do you mean? I mean, that sounds pretty good. Like, settle for, well, what I mean is, I spoke in tongues. That's good enough. Right? They would settle. And brother, sister, obviously we don't, that's not an issue for us. Right? We know that. But yet, we will settle for other things. We'll settle. You say, well, what do I mean? I know because I do it. I'm okay. Sometimes, man, we come in on, you know, Wednesday night and we're tired and I settle. I make a deal with my body that, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Don't stare at me. And you say, well, that's good enough. Right? I give out 80%. I worship at 2/3 throttle. Somebody say something. Amen. I just go so far. And then okay, well, we got through it, and then we're right? We come short of, we miss out on blessings because of our expectation. We limit God. Amen. Let's bow our heads, Father. Lord, we just come to you this morning, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, because you're faithful. Oh God, there's no one else that we could say, no other place where we could look in this entire world and say, no matter how high I place my expectation, you will always meet it. You will never disappoint me. There's no one like you, God. There's no person, there's no institution, there's nothing in this world that I could say, this will never disappoint me. But your word, Lord, when I place my expectation in your word and in you, your person, your character, I am never disappointed. You're so wonderful, God. Lord, forgive us, Lord God, for having low expectations in our lives, Lord, in our spiritual walk. Maybe we've settled, Lord. Maybe I'm the only one, oh God, but maybe we've settled in our prayer life, Lord. Maybe we've settled in our times with you. Maybe we've settled, Lord God, for a lowered expectation when we come to church, when we come to service. Lord, listening to messages, listening to tapes, reading our Bible. Maybe we've settled, oh God, but forgive us, Lord. Lord, help us to raise our expectations, Lord, to anticipate greater, above, beyond what we can ask or think. Not to limit you, not to put you in a box. Oh Lord, we're believing for great things. But we can even believe for greater things. But Lord, we are looking for your coming. Lord, I relate to Simeon this morning, Lord. I'm anticipating your coming. I want to be like Simeon, waiting earnestly for your coming. Walking in revival, Lord. Walking in faith. walking in overcoming power, walking close to you. Father, I want that for everyone. I want that for this church, Lord. I want that for my brothers and sisters, oh God. That we would be walking so on fire, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. How we love you, Lord. I just thank you for each one, Father. I thank you for the desire that's here, Lord. I know it, Lord. I know that there's a hunger for you here in this church. Lord, I can feel that desire, Lord. And Lord, I know, Lord God, that you're going to meet that. Thank you, Father, for your blessings, Lord. Thank you for your promises. I just pray that you'd be with each one this morning, Lord. May your word just drill down into our hearts this morning. We thank you. We honor you. We love you. You are God. You are mighty. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let's sing. You are God. You are God alone. God alone, from before time began, you were on your throne, you were God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God. Not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. That's just the way. You're the only God. You're the only God whose power none can contain. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God whose word of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way. God.